Hi, my name is Dave Johnson. You may know me from House Calls, where we talk to investment bankers from Cain Brothers, a division of KeyBank Capital Markets Incorporated. Today, we're going to have a quick hit conversation with Erica Hanpa about the insight she just published on behavioral health. It's going to be a great conversation. Erica, welcome to Quick Hits, where the bankers like you are always in.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
We're going to talk a little bit about an article that you just put out in Insights related to trends in behavioral health. And it's a pretty exciting time. Lots going on. And the long-held idea that we would get parity between behavioral health and physical health is probably closer today than it's ever been before. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the article and what you're finding, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So in the article, I highlighted a few recent changes coming from CMS in and around improving access to care for behavioral health services. The first point being that Medicare actually recently expanded the roster of eligible providers for mental health services. So previously, marriage and family therapists and mental health counselors were not eligible to be reimbursed by Medicare. And that was just amended so that as of January 1, 400,000 additional providers are now able to offer mental health services to the Medicare population, which is incredible because when you think about the fact that there's such a huge demand for these services and so few people have access, like with the stroke of a pen, effectively, you can increase the availability of services for this population. Of course, it's not that simple, but knowing that this many more eligible providers are now...
All you need is a payment code.
And I guess alongside that, with Medicare, IOP, intensive outpatient services, are now eligible to be covered by Medicare as well. And then one of the exciting announcements from CMS was this innovation and behavioral health model, which is focused on integrating behavioral health care services with primary care and broader healthcare services, with behavioral health providers being the entry point to the system.
Yeah.
Now, it's the early stages. The model was just announced. They're going to start picking states. I think the official opening happens this spring, and this fall, they'll start to pick the states for the model. But the idea is that people can go to their behavioral health care provider, but then there will be greater coordination from the behavioral health provider to get those folks into additional healthcare services. And there will be incentives such that this takes place, which is incredible when you think about the overall impact and health outcomes that this can create for people and managing them through that entire process. And the last point I hit on briefly was that a new waiver was approved for New York to also improve the access to comprehensive care for mental health and substance use disorder patients in the Medicaid and Medicare population.
Yeah, all really exciting and I would say positive. Big picture, you know, talking from the macro perspective, it feels like the marketplace is migrating to what I'm going to call whole person health, total health. That was a program the Veterans Administration initiated, I think, in 2011. And that's what allowed them to expand beyond healthcare services into things like homelessness and depression, substance abuse, food insecurity, whole host of things. And today the VA gets better outcomes at 2/3 of the per capita Medicare costs with a much sicker population. And I guess what's happening is this concept, which is antithetical to the way we've delivered medicine in the past, which has been fee-for-service, volume-based, so on and so forth, really does seem to be catching on. Still huge integration issues. And I guess what I'd love to hear from your perspective, Erica, since you're in the market every day, is sort of on the ground, how are you seeing these developments? Is there real excitement? Are some parts of the behavioral health landscape improving a little faster than others? Anything that worries you? Just, you know, give the audience a bit of the lay of the land, for lack of a better term.
Well, I don't know if this is what people want to hear or not, but there's so much talk about value-based care and the move to value-based care. And within the behavioral health landscape, so far, it's mostly been talk. And yep. It's great to think about it, but there's A lot of steps that can be done incrementally to get us there eventually. I think there's a lot of ground to cover, and these initiatives are, you know, the beginning of that. But when you think about value-based care, you need the incentives and the outcomes to be aligned. And within behavioral health, one of the challenges we've had is that spending dollars on behavioral health does create real meaningful savings on the physical healthcare side. But if you have the segregation between mental and physical health care, it's hard to create a value-based construct that appropriately incentivizes for the provision of behavioral health care services. So some of these types of models, I think, could help improve that and really be able to follow the patient from point A to point B and see that indirect services are leading to meaningful outcomes in other areas.
Yeah. Well, you know, at some point, somebody's actually going to care about the total cost of care and actually going to care about better overall outcomes. And so often, and this is part of what I'm finding exciting about some of these new payment programs, is that when we lead with behavioral health and get the minds, you know, straightened out, the body's actually a lot easier to deal with. And why that is such a hard concept for the healthcare ecosystem to, I'm just going to say, you know, adopt, because I think everybody understands and even believes in the concept, but it's still a dream that's over the horizon, isn't it?
It is. It seems so obvious and so logical, right? But it's yet to come to fruition. And I think we're slowly making our way there, but there are a lot of opportunities in the interim. You know, you said something earlier around the healthcare system, and what I've read and seen is like what we have today is more of a sick care system, but this perhaps can help us get to more of a healthcare system and help people thrive overall.
Yeah. Well, why don't we leave it there? Because quick hits needs to be quick. And I think we covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. So thank you very much. And you heard it here first that lots of positive movement, but still a long, long way to Tipperary.
Thanks.